Okay, I'm actually starting a couple minutes early because I want to get you guys out of here at least a couple minutes early. There are empty seats to my left and your right. And this is hands down one of the weirdest rooms I've ever presented in. I've been doing this a really long time. I got to tell you, I'm sorry to you guys on the ends. I'll wave at you from time to time. This is weird. Thank you for coming out. It's a odd time slot to get right before lunch. For anybody who had lunch here yesterday, I'm sure you found out there was a bit of a competitive advantage to those who got out first. It is my honor and privilege to try to give that to you. So I'm going to take what's about 17 days worth of material that was boiled down to an hour, and we're going to cut about 15 minutes of it out to try to give you a little head start. If you want to stay and ask questions, I'll stay here to the bitter end. I don't need to eat lunch. It's okay. I can take it. So, a couple of pieces of mechanics here. Okay. Get my timer working. So, my name's Steve Cohen. I'm with Microsoft. I am the Chief Architect for Worldwide Public Sector. This is a really irrelevant title. As it turns out, in Microsoft, there's no such thing as a Chief Architect, really. They gave some of us the title. It's cool. Love that. Didn't change my pay any. Damn it. But I am an architect. I'm not an enterprise architect. I'm not a solution architect. I'm not an infrastructure architect. I'm not a business architect. I'm not an information architect. I am merely an architect. And that is the first part of the problem. The problem we have right now in the world of architecture is too many damn titles. Don't care. Specialization is good. You need to know your stuff. You need to have depth. But to build a thing, we need all of this architecture to work. Not just a piece of it, all of it. So today, we're going to do something, well, hopefully interesting for you, certainly weird for the industry, but something I'm particularly passionate about, if that's not clear, and it's to address one thing and one thing, well, two things. First of all, I kind of hate PowerPoint slideware. So this, if I can make him go, click, this is my entire slide deck. Thank you. Thank you all. Good night. This is not a PowerPoint presentation. It is not particularly something you're going to duplicate right away. There is a core thing in here. We'll get to it in a minute. I'll post it somewhere where you all can get it. But this is about being real. Architecture has a great reputation for being the high and mighty ivory tower thing, for being useless guidance at the beginning, for being that stuff that people tell you to do and nobody really does. Architecture among architects, we love it. This is awesome. It's got depth and detail and color and emotion. It's music. We are the conductors of an orchestra. And when it goes well, it's this beautiful symphony of software that delivers stuff to people. Love that. Nobody else thinks about that way except us, right? This is us talking to us. Everybody else thinks we're a pain in the ass, right? We set the rules. We tell them what they can't do. We go behind them and say, "Did it badly?" There's a lot of bad ways to be an architect. So, a couple of things. How many people in the room have the title architect somewhere in their title? Excellent. How many people have something like project manager, program manager, portfolio manager? Managers, you can confess, be proud. It's all right. Okay. How about tester, QA, tech writers? God help me, please bring me tech writers. We love tech writers. Excellent. Architects play with everybody. Our role by itself is irrelevant. We're supposed to make things better for everybody else. Everybody from the user's users, right? Not the guy who pays us, but the people they're trying to serve. The guy who pays us, we're supposed to be there happy too. Your CXOs, CIO types, and then every other role involved in the entirety of the life cycle. So from let's get together and see how we can solve a problem for people, all the way through, look, we're solving the problem for people. That's architecture. Every place, everywhere in the life cycle. Okay. a little bit of a rant. Let's get to rant number 34. I have multiple jobs in my job. It breaks into roughly three parts. The first third, I do things like this. I teach, I present, and I try to make the industry better. And I recommend all of you who are passionate about this, this should be part of your job too. The second part, the smallest part, is I'm called on by Microsoft sales to be the technical guy to go speak to our customers. I can't say I hate that part. Sometimes it's actually really fun, but it's not very fulfilling for me. The third part, I'm the fixer. I'm the guy you call when things go bad. I mean, really bad. You spent $100 million on something, 80% of your timeline, and it's not working. This, statistically, is 70% of the projects on the world. So the first thing you do is you call your favorite consultants. You spend some more money, you give them some time, they tell you they're going to do it, and nothing happens. They take your money and leave. Then you call the high-end consultants, the ones you didn't want to pay for the first time. But okay, we'll get the big guns. You bring them in, they take a lot of your money, they also fail to deliver, and you leave. So the next step, obviously, is to sue Microsoft. As it turns out, Microsoft's been sued as long as I've been alive, pretty much. Somebody's been suing us. When that happens, inside of Microsoft, less than 1% of our company is a thing called Microsoft Services. We come out into the real world and we get real stuff done. Ta-da! As it turns out, first thing you do when you go to sue Microsoft is they send you Microsoft Services or some of our Premier Services guys. And they come out and try really hard and find out by then the politics, the legal stuff, the contract stuff is all out of control. They can't get it done. I'm the last guy you call. If I show up on your site, there's two things you need to know. Somebody's done something very bad, okay? And I'm gonna find you and you will lose your job. Bad things happen, okay? I should not be there. If I'm there, somebody screwed up, they gotta pay. The second thing is, I don't fail, ever. I've been doing this for 30 years, I have a 100% delivery record for two very easy reasons. I know when to say no. If your house is on fire, sometimes the answer is let it burn, save the neighbors. And the second is, I never give up. Ever. Never, ever give up. The number one reason for project failure is not technical failure. It's not architectural failure. It's not a design failure. It's a failure to have the guts to stick it out and do the hard work. Horrible. Terrible. Why can't we just stay there? We should have liability. And right now, we don't. Except me. As a Microsoft representative, when I come on site and say, I'm going to do this for you, I am now liable, legally liable. And I never give up. Part of never giving up is having good documentation so other people can do the work, because these are big projects. Most of my programs range between 100 and 500 people involved in getting it done. Usually the 300 range is pretty common. Every once in a while it's five. It really does vary. But the bottom line is there's a bunch of people involved. And as it turns out, when architecture comes together, it's not one thing. So let's go on to rant number 48. Show me your architecture. This is my first question. I come to your house, something's going on, I find the architect and I say, please, oh God, show me your architecture. And what happens? Well, let's go to the whiteboard. And I start to draw. It's like, stop. That's an illustration. Show me your architecture. Well, I've got this beautiful PowerPoint. No! That PowerPoint better be 800 PowerPoints. Show me your architecture. Architecture is a set of things. It's multiple views and viewpoints. It supports multiple constituencies. There is no chance you're going to get one document to cover all of this stuff. So admittedly, I'm an old guy. I've been doing this for a while. When I started doing this, architecture looked like this. Everybody remember these? Three-ring binder, okay? Architecture, it was a thing you put together and people other than you could go read it. And when they had questions, they found you. And we started with a thud every time. You got stuff, you put it together, and you printed it out. And then we all started screaming about how hard it was to keep that in check. Well, as it turns out, real architecture takes more than one of these. The first one is simply the context. Volume one is to put together the stuff around the problem. It's to be able to look at the industry, to be able to look at the company in its business context. It's to be able to look at the problem shaped across a broad array of those problems. It's not the actual thing. For that, we have volume two. Volume two, equally big. That's the problem. This is a description of why you're going to do this thing. I know where we are in the context, and now I know why we're doing it. Because if I don't know why we're doing it, I have no idea what it is. There's got to be a reason. Architects work in the service of others. I don't build this stuff for myself. I don't own these things. Sometimes I'm a user. But we work for others. So what's the problem? Why are we there? What are you trying to solve? Are you trying to make more money? Are you trying to make something easier? There's always a problem. We get past that. Volume three. Volume three is a solution. It's all that stuff you think you were going to do. It's the guidance that you want to give to everybody, and there's hundreds of people on this team, to go forth and do a thing. But now, because we've got volumes one and two, I have traceability. I have justification. Good architects can justify their choices. You don't come in and say, hey, I think we should use Silverlight. Yeah, it's been around a long time. It's stable. We should use Silverlight. Why? Stable's not the answer. It's not even the beginning of the answer. You got to have a reason to pick the technologies. You have to have a reason to pick the parts. You have to have the reason to do the work, a reason to pick the structure. It has to hang on something, and that hang comes from volumes one and two. But we're good architects. We don't just do good architecture. We do great architecture, which requires volume four, operations. It's going to fall. Oh, well. This is how it works. Now I built this thing, and I want you to do something with it. This is how you patch it. This is how you maintain it. This is how we're going to rev it. This is how we're going to release it. This is the promotion cycle. It's ALM. It's all of the stuff that makes sure that the first one goes great, and maybe the second one will too. Architectures through the whole life cycle, we own all four of these volumes. Now, that's interesting, right? But let's face it, we can do better than a three-ring binder. And for that, I introduce you to OneNote. Oh. This is nothing but virtual three-ring binders. And this is the center of my universe. This is an architecture. All of this stuff in one place, and here's the real miracle, we can all work on it at once. I do work for Microsoft. I will be referencing a lot of Microsoft products. I'm sorry, this is not a sales pitch. This is just the way I happen to do it. You can do it your own way. It's cool. No complaint. I open up OneNote on Office 365. I invite you all to it. And now we can all see everybody else's stuff. Everybody gets to take their expertise, whether you're the infrastructure person or the taxonomy person. And you can provide that in one place where we can all see it and start to adjust our stuff based on your stuff. Now, if you are a master architect, of which technically there are none, by the way, worldwide there's two bodies that say architects are good and bad, and none of them have the level master. Go figure. You should be able to do all this stuff and do it all yourself. It's rare, extremely rare. This is a team sport. You can't even build a phone app alone anymore. It takes everybody. You need the security people, you need infrastructure people, you need software people working together, and that's the architect's job. That means the thing we build, the architecture, the deliverable. This is what people pay for. A thing that if you leave, they can read without you. So, back to the early question, show me your architecture means give me this giant set of stuff and leave me alone. I should be able to interpret it and understand what your goals were, get your justification from it, see where the decisions are, understand the trade-off analysis, and then come back and talk to you. Now well-grounded in your world. It's not complicated, but, and this may be embarrassing, has anybody in the room ever done this? Okay, I want your emails and I want you to send it to me. I'm serious. I love seeing real architecture and it's unbelievably rare. Put it together, put it someplace on a share and send me a link. I promise I will review it and give you as much feedback and positive support as I can. Free consulting. How often do you get that? So as we look at this thing, it's got all the stuff. And before I get into it, I want to emphasize this is not a template. This is not a checklist. I'm about to go through it more or less sequentially, but it is not a sequential operation. This is 100% randomness. You're going to gather things as you find them. You're going to look for them because you notice they're missing, and you're going to update everything you find every time you find anything. In the world of living documents, that's what living means. You got to keep going back to it. But since it's online, and since it's on Office 365, it's available on all platforms. It's just not that hard anymore. Just go do it. But spend the time and get into it. Now, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. For this to be a hardcore session, I have to talk about a thing, a real architecture. A real architecture against the real project. I've got a lot of customers, and they're all governments, state, local, federal, international, education, healthcare. None of them want me showing you their stuff. So I made something up. I love to make stuff up because I'm never wrong that way. Did I mention I'm a consultant? So what I've made up is a thing that strikes near and dear to my heart. I happen to like coffee. I like coffee a lot. Some people all talk about, let's go to the pub and grab a pint. No, no, no. I want to find the best coffee in the city. And that's what I do. But as it turns out, as a real traveling consultant, I'm on the road some 300 days a year. I don't know where the best coffee in the city is. It's surprisingly difficult to figure out because most people's taste in coffee, as it turns out, is not very good. It's all right. I think there should be a better way. Let's say we're going to build an app. So I made up a customer, which turned out to be somewhat realish. Purely accidentally. First time I had this conversation on a session like this, I was in Seattle, Washington, and I made up a fictitious group called the Baristas of Seattle. And then I went online. Shockingly, they're real. I didn't know. It's not my fault. But if we look up the Baristas of Seattle, we should end up with the Baristas of Seattle Society, not the bikini guys, sorry. All right, there they are. Seriously, this is live. This is real. I'm not making this up. These people exist. But they don't have a website. All they have is a Twitter feed. So they're not very big. But I think great coffee comes not from Starbucks or a company. Great coffee comes from great baristas. So I wanted to find, how can I find my great barista? Why can't I put together a little application around that? I should be able to pick up my phone, say, I'm here, find me the nearest great barista. Tell me how far away I am, show me the menu. I want to be able to place my order. It should go in queue. They should be able to determine the amount of time it takes to make that kind of coffee, queue it up, and when I walk through the door, it should be just magical. The perfect cup of fill in your favorite kind of coffee. So I started building the app. I started architecting this application. Well, the first thing I did is I wanted to go out and learn about the stuff. And gee whiz, I pasted that first thing straight in from the website, not rocket science, and then I went out looking for business plans for coffee shops. As it turns out, there are a lot of them. It's amazing what you can learn on the internet. I visit customers over and over again. While I'm here at this conference, I'm visiting a couple. And the first thing I do is I open up Bing, yes, Bing, and I search for them, and I learn stuff about them. And it's the beginning of every piece of architecture, understanding the context.